Let's take our Bibles and look again in Luke chapter 15.
Tade nditengulele mabhaibho athu okuchokera mbuku la Luka mutu wake wa 15.
The last time I preached from this portion, we looked at the parable of the lost son.
Monga nthawi yakumbuyo inalalikira kuchokera mu gawo lina la ndimeyo mweyi limene timayangana za fanizo la mwana wolowerera kapena wotayika.
And that was in verses 11 through 16. We saw how the son represents sinners that are lost, for whom the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save. That's what the scriptures tell us. He did not come to call the righteous or those that saw themselves as righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the way that this son rebelled, in essence, against his father and asked for his portion of goods and then journeyed into a far country and wasted there his possessions, that's a picture of us as sinners and our fall in Adam.
Monganso mmene mwana uja awa mwana ulowerera anapemphera chuma chache mbanja mwa atate wake kuti ampase chuma ndi kutenga chuma chakecho ndikupita kumayiko akutali kumene anakachisakaza ndi makhalidwe achitayiko mmene momo ndi mmene ifeyo anthu tonse ochimwa tinagwera pamaso pa Mulungu kupitira makolo lathu Adamu.
And especially the way that it described him in that far country. We have fallen far from God. But it says there that he began to be in want, in other words, in need, and even to the point of where he took the husks of corn that were given to the swine to eat, and that was all he had. And we ended with verse 16. The very last sentence there in verse 16 says, "And no man gave unto him." Such is our fall that no man is able to help us. So in this parable, Christ is contrasting those that he came to save, and it wasn't everybody, in contrast with the self-righteous Pharisees who did not think they had any need. But here now in verses 17 to 24, which is going to be my text, we have the story of the recovery of this lost son.
And
then the next time we'll take a look at from verse 25 to the end of chapter about the elder son. But let's begin in verse 17 about the recovery of the lost son. How did it begin? Luke 15:17 says, "And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?
Munganima 17 akuti koma mmene anakumbukira mu mtima anati anchito olipidwa ambiri atate wanga alina chocha kudya chochuluka ndipo ine ndionongeke kuno ndi njala.
Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.
Ndimayenera kuti ndidzanyamuka ndipite kwa atate wanga ndipo ndizanena naye. Atate ndinachimwira kumwamba ndidziko andipa maso pano.
Verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
Verse 20,
he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
And
the son, verse 21, said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.
Verse 22,
but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet.
Verse 23,
and then verse 23, the last verse we'll look at today, says, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. So we have here how it is that the Lord recovers lost sinners, brings them to himself. If we are one of those sinners for whom Christ came into this world to save, we can identify with this lost son who was found again. And it begins with the work of the Spirit in the heart to awaken us. We were dead in our sins, and the Spirit awakened us as to our lost state.
Verse 17
says that when he came to himself, you can imagine somebody that has been in a coma and comes back to reality. Up to this point, his mind and heart were far from his father, but now he comes to himself. There's an awakening. There are those that believe that it's up to us to come to God. They like this particular verse because they say, see, it says there that he came to himself. So this was something he had to do. But in reality, if it says he came to himself, it's the Spirit of God that causes the sinner to see that where they are in their fall, they are not themselves, and begins to draw those sinners back to the Father. This is an example of repentance. It's repentance toward God. There's a change of heart and mind that the Spirit gives sinners that he draws back to the Father. This is the same language that Paul used in writing to Timothy, if you'd like to look there, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 25 and 26. This describes how we're to preach the gospel to lost sinners. It says in verse 25, in meekness, that is, in humbleness, knowing ourselves to be sinners, instructing those that oppose themselves. And then it says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. This shows us right here that if there is any repentance, it is from God, if God peradventure will give them repentance. When we're preaching the gospel, we don't know the hearts of those who are hearing us, but the Lord does. But we know this, that if any do repent, it's God who has given them that repentance, and it describes repentance as to the acknowledging of the truth. The truth is Christ. And look at the language of verse 26. It's exactly as we're seeing in the parable here of the recovery of the lost son. It says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So when it says recover themselves, it's not that they are doing the recovery themselves, but they come to themselves, just like it says here in Luke chapter 15, this lost son came to himself. He was given the Spirit now to acknowledge his lost estate and begin to desire to come back to the Father. And it's clear that it's not something they can themselves do, but it's the effect of God granting them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Therefore, they are delivered from the snare of the devil, who has taken them captive by his own will. Now, coming back to this parable, when the Spirit begins to draw the sinner back to the Father, it's clear here that he wasn't trying to improve his conditions in the pig pen. He didn't wake up and look around and see himself among these pigs and think, okay, I got to clean up this pen. To me, that's the biggest difference when we preach the gospel. There are some that think, okay, I've got to start cleaning up my life to make myself right with God. That's not one that the Spirit is drawing. And another thing I find here is that he didn't blame his father, or even his elder brother, or his friends for his condition. He took the blame himself. There are some, when they hear about being lost and fallen sinners, they begin to blame God. They say, well, why did God cause the fall? No, here he begins to reflect on the blessings of being in the Father's household that for some time he had abandoned. He took the blame. Like he said there in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. There he takes the blame. That's what sinners do that are recovered from their lost estate. They take the blame. He was given the awareness that if he stayed where he was, he would perish. There are many to whom we preach that have no urgency about being lost because there's no work of the Spirit in their heart. They continue to live in a far country feeding on husks that are fed to swine. I liken that to false religion. It's nothing but husks. It cannot satisfy the needy soul.
Zima kandikulakalaka kuma
Here's the clear evidence of the work of the Spirit of God in the sinner's heart that has been awakened, where he says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my Father. That's the repentance. That's the change of direction toward God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. There wasn't even anybody next to him telling him, okay, you need to say this particular prayer in order to get right with God, like so many of these so-called evangelists do today. He was all alone, separated unto his Father, as he began to think again of the thoughts of his Father. This is how the Spirit drew him. In fact, as you read on in verse 19, he said, I'm no more worthy even to be called thy son. Again, this reflects the change of heart and mind of any that the Spirit of God is recovering from their lost state. They acknowledge that they're not even worthy to be called sons of God. Any that the Spirit of God has drawn back to the Father, they're not boasting of being sons of God. In fact, they're like the publican in the temple, can't even look heavenward, but beat their breast and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. In fact, you see there in verse 19, the second part of the verse, he would have been content just to be one of the hired servants, whether his Father ever showed grace to him or not. That wasn't the condition for his coming. He just knew that where he was, if he stayed there, he would perish. So again, this demonstrates the change of heart, which is what repentance is. What he had thought previously, going his own way, and now realizing that if he could not make it back to his Father, he would perish. So we've seen here in these verses 17 to 19 how it is that a sinner is recovered from their lost state. But now in the second part of my text, verses 20 to 24, we see how the Father received the lost son again. We saw the son and how his heart was turned toward the Father. But what of the Father? What do we find?
Verse 24, pamene tikuona sopano mmene atate anamlandirira mwana ujayo kunena kuti iye ujanapanga chigariro kuti ndibwerera kwa atate wanga koma sopano kuti atate kuti anachita chiyani atamuona.
Yes, it says there in verse 20 that he arose and came to his father. This is how the Spirit draws sinners to the Father. Stop and ask yourself what it was about the Father that was drawing him back. Any that are sons of God, that the Spirit of God recovers, and for whom Christ came and paid their sin debt, their coming to the Father is because of what the Father himself has taught them concerning himself. He already knew his Father to be merciful because when he had rebelled and asked for a portion of the goods, the Father gave him that portion. Yes, God is just and holy, and should he cut us off forever, he would be right in doing so. And yet, we read in the scripture where he's merciful and gracious to sinners. And notice in this parable, the Father's thoughts were ever on the Son. Even though the Son had rebelled and fallen away, yet the Father never stopped loving his Son. See, people, again, when they want to put the emphasis on the supposed free will of the sinner, they'll say, see, it says there, he arose and came to his Father. But why did he arise and go to his Father? It's because he knew who his Father was. And that's why any of us, when we're taught of the Father, we're drawn to him because in the Word, we see him as a merciful and gracious Father. This is what Christ said in John chapter 6 and verse 37. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. A lot of people just like to quote the second part of that verse and say, see, it says that if we come to him, he'll not cast us out. But who will come to him? It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. This Son could rise and come to the Father because the Father was his all along.
Ndino mwana ujaya anakwanisa kunyamuka ndikubwera kwa atare chifwa atare anali akulingalira za iyo nthawi yonse.
If we're one of these that are recovered from our lost state, it's because the Father has ever been ours all along.
Ngati tinakhala ifeyo amodzi a iwo amene atembenuka kapena abwezedwa apezeka utayikaja ndi chifukwa chonena kuti atateyo anali akutikonda ifeyo nthawi yonse.
And I know that because verse 20, if you keep reading, it explains how it is he came. It says there, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He was not even within eyesight yet of the Father in his coming, and yet the Father saw him all along. This is such a beautiful picture of grace, in that all the while the Spirit is drawing the sinner back to the Father, yet the Father has always had his heart on the sinner. And again, let's remember the context of what Christ is teaching here, is that these are the types of sinners that he, the Savior, came to save and to draw back to the Father.
Oh,
what a beautiful picture of God's all-seeing and all-knowing love for not everybody. Here it is this son. Even though the son had completely disgraced his father and his family in his rebellion and leaving, yet the father's love never changed toward that son. This is infinite and unconditional grace. And that's what's expressed there. Notice the order. First, it was the Father that saw him even before he saw the Father. And second, he didn't wait. There weren't any conditions put on the son that, okay, the father's going to wait and see if there really is a change. No, it says his father, when he saw him, had what? Compassion. That's mercy.
And
it's not the son running to the father and falling on the neck of the father. Here it says the father ran. It's the father that came to the son and fell on his neck and kissed him. Here we see the intensity of the love of the Father for sinners that he draws, in that he goes to them and he brings them to himself in love. The Father seeing the Son, and that love of the Father being what was drawing the Son back to him, it says there that he ran. Such is the urgency even of the Father to receive a lost sinner that is the object of his love. He ran. Now, in that particular culture, you didn't see old men running. They would walk. But here it says he ran. Such is the work of the grace of God when the sinner is being drawn again to the Father. It's the Father that comes to the sinner.
And
it says there that he kissed him. Actually, in the Greek, that word kissed means he never stopped kissing him. He repeatedly kissed him, that that son might know that he was welcome. What a wonderful discovery of the grace of God when he by his Spirit draws us to the Father, and we see that the Father has always loved us, else he would not have drawn us. And when he draws us, that love only continues. He continued to kiss him. But in the face of that love of the Father toward him, we don't find the Son then saying, okay, well, then everything's all right. Notice in verse 21, he said unto the Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He acknowledges his unworthiness of the reception that he received of the Father. This was not a condition for the Father to receive him. The Father had already received him, but rather it was an evidence of that change of heart already toward the Father, and therefore he continued to confess his unworthiness. Those that of us that the Father has drawn to himself, we continue to acknowledge our unworthiness. There are a lot of people in religion that don't like that. They say, well, if you're forgiven, why are you even talking about being unworthy? Our answer is that because we are forgiven, we continue to acknowledge our unworthiness of that forgiveness and grace. We acknowledge it's only because of Christ that we're received.
Mm-hmm.
Some may ask, well, where's Christ in this story? Well, he's there in verses 22 and
23.
You can imagine this son coming back had nothing but rags. What does the father do in verse 22? He calls for the best robe and put it on him. So the best robe represents that righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ came and earned and established to satisfy God's law and justice. This was a robe that had been made specifically for the Son. This is not something that the Son took of himself and put on. The Father put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. That ring represented the Father's approval of the Son. And shoes on his feet. The scriptures speak of our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That represents what it is that gives us standing before the Father. It's in Christ. But just as the scriptures say, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You say, well, where's the shedding of blood? It's in verse
23.
It says, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Blood was shed. But it wasn't the blood of the Son who deserved nothing but condemnation. It was the substitute. It was that innocent animal. That blood was shed. It represents the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why that son could be received. Once that animal had been slain, that meant then everything had been forgiven that had taken place up to that point because the blood had been shed. That's how any that are God's sons are reconciled to the Father. It's through the blood shed of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in their coming to Him. That's not the salvation. The reconciliation was in the blood being shed. And that's where it says in verse 23 that they began to eat. That means that's the fellowship being established. And what? Be merry. To rejoice. Notice in the story that there was no merriment until the sacrifice had been made.
Just as it says in verse
24, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And notice, they began to be merry. Once there was clear evidence that reconciliation had been made, they began to be merry.
You
see how it's put there in verse 24? It wasn't just finding a lost son, but it was as one who had been brought back from the dead. You see why I said that if we're one of the Lord's, we can identify with this testimony as to how it is God the Father in His mercy and grace has drawn us back to Himself through the sacrifice of His Son. There were those listening to Christ that did not rejoice because they were self-righteous. They thought themselves worthy. But oh, to be able to identify with this son who was lost and, it says, was found. He didn't find himself. He was found of the Father, was dead, and was made alive. Next time, Lord willing, verses 25 down to verse 32, we'll take a look at the elder son. But I pray the Lord will bless His word as we've heard it today.
I think Brother Nelson, you can conclude.
Strong gift to God because of the beautiful gospel preached about the prodigal son, whom the Father Himself blows and welcoming. For sure in us, there is nothing that we can do to be welcomed by the Father. There is nothing good from us that we can do that can make the Father to welcome us. But thank you to God to be one of those the Father draws because He elects before the foundation of the world. And because of the shed blood, that makes the acceptance of the son that was prodigal. We thank you to God because of this.
Amen.